Got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to John chapter number 2. St. John chapter number 2. I want to try to read several different verses in the book of St. John, and also three or four verses in the book of Acts. What did the woman need that said she could touch him? Huh? What did she need? She needed a miracle. She got it. Now, I want to try to share this morning what the Lord's laid on my heart. It has been on her for days and weeks, really. What we really need is a miracle. Miracle. Now, I know sometimes you get branded if you preach that God still performs me miracles, but I'm still going to preach it. Amen. Why? Because He's still able to perform miracles. If I didn't believe God was still working miracles, I'd quit. I mean, I'd just quit this book because it's so full of it. But thank God, we don't have to worry about quitting. He's still a miracle working God. And a lot of some of us here sitting here this morning, what you really need, you may think it's something else, but what you really need is a miracle from God. Nicodemus, I'll be reading that verse in a moment, but Nicodemus came to the Lord. He'd heard of the miracles. So there's a miracle. Number one main thing people make a miracle is, you know, the new birth is a miracle. Now, I know it seems like a natural thing, but even the birth of a child naturally. Oh, it's amazing. I think about this week, we're fearful and wonderfully made. God's made us. Amen. And so this morning, maybe what you need is a miracle in your life. It may be a spiritual miracle. You may need a new birth. Because like I heard one brother say yesterday, it's a helmet. The helmet of all his army we put on, the helmet of salvation. You need to try to put on nothing else, you haven't put on that. And so a new miracle that you need, a miracle of miracles, is a new birth. That's spiritual miracle. Then there may be other miracles. Maybe a physical miracle. He's in that business too. Amen. Yes, He is. Begin reading in St. John chapter number 2. Verse number 11. I won't read the whole thing. You know, Jesus turned the water into wine. You know, I read now and I thought, well, He didn't tell them to get no grape juice. He didn't need it. He just filled them water pots up with water. Now, some of us say, well, how can you be total abstainers if you believe that scripture? Well, we ought to be total abstainers, but some of us said, I'm going to drink me some wine. Well, you get you some water and turn it into wine, go ahead. Amen. Unless you're taking it for a, Paul said, a little for your stomach's sake or something for insane medicine or whatever. But you know what? Look at verse number 11. This beginning of miracles of John chapter 2, verse number 11. Did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and the disciples believed on Him. John 2, verse, St. John 2, 11. The beginning of miracles. Thank God he hadn't quit performing them yet. He did Jesus in Canaan. You know why He was performing them miracles? Manifesting forth His what? Glory. And His disciples believed on Him. Turn with me. Actually, probably don't have to turn. Look at verse number 23. Of that same chapter. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast days many believed on His name when they saw the miracles which He did. Now don't you notice how many times in this little book of John it talks about miracles. Look at verse number 2. Look at verse chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do what? These miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Turn with me a little Pablo in the book of St. John, chapter number 4. St. John, chapter number 4. Verse number 46, begin reading. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Galilee, unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him. Back at the verse 46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee. Listen to this. Where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was now going down. The servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of him the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, yesterday the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Amen. And himself believed, and his whole house. And this again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah unto Galilee. Another miracle. Thank God for it. Turn me a little farther in the book of St. John, chapter number 6. St. John, chapter number 6. Look at verse number 2. John 6:2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on him, that were what? Diseased. You ever never been an hour when we need to see the miracle of God more than we do now? You ever seen any more diseases? You ever seen any more sicknesses? You ever seen any more heartaches and troubles and need a miracle of God? And so they said the miracle. Great multitude followed him because he saw his miracles which he did on him that were diseased. Turn a little farther. Well, in the same chapter, verse number 14. John 6:14 said, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is the truth, that prophet, that should come into the world. Turn me now to the book of John chapter number 7. Go a little further in the same gospel. John 7, verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, would he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Thank God. He is a Christ. Amen. Yes, he is. Thank God he is. Turn with me now in John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9, verse number 16. John 9:16 simply says this, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. That's what some of them were saying, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. They didn't like him even healing on the Sabbath. But he said, don't keep the Sabbath. The others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Amen. Now, let's turn with me. In the book of John, chapter number 11. Of course, you know what Lazarus needed, wasn't it? A miracle. I think about them graves out there. What's it going to take to get them up? It's going to be a miracle. The folks, it's coming. John 11, verse number 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If you let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." Boy, they began to take counsel and see how they could do away with him. People don't like miracles of God. Let me just stop you while it's on my heart. You remember the maniac that was full of the devil? Nobody contained him. Cutting himself into tombs. They bound him with chains. He'd break them. Tormented day and night. We got set free. Do you think the people liked it? No, they were more interested in the hogs. Maybe more interested in what they think benefits them. But what delivered him? A miracle. Jesus did. Yes, he did. Now you say, well, that's Jesus. Well, I want to go to the book of Acts, just, and I will come back, and what the Lord's laid on our heart, we're going to try to share with you. But if you can sit down and get you a concordance, you can look up these and many more places he talks about miracles. But if you look in Acts chapter number 2, I want to show you that he kept working. Amen. He didn't quit. He didn't quit when he got out of the tomb. He didn't quit after he was resurrected. He didn't quit in the early church. And thank God he's worked miracles since. He's still in the miracle working business. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God. One, it says, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. I turn a little farther in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 6. Look at this verse. God's already said more than I could ever say anyhow, or anybody else. Acts 6:8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now God worked them through him, but his man was Stephen. One of the first deacons, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. We need a miracle. Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse number 6. Acts 8:6 says, and the people of one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles, which he did. If you don't believe it will get folks' attention, if God begins to work, it will. I hope and pray this morning God let us start believing. Not only believing that we need a miracle, but believing we can see a miracle-working hand of God. Now notice what he said in verse number 13. Simon and Cephas believed also when he was baptized. He contended with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But I want to read maybe one more of the verse and going back to the first two. Won't ever get a pass the first one or two I started with. But I'll read one of the verses in Acts chapter 19. What about this apostle? Paul. Acts 19, verse number 11, 12. And God, verse number 11, Acts 19, wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You like that? I do. So that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs, or aprons, and the diseases departed from him, and the evil spirits went out of him. Special miracles by the hands of Paul. They brought unto him, he sent out handkerchiefs. You've heard, some of you heard me tell it. My daddy's oldest brother, my daddy told me. He'd moved way away from home somewhere, on Corvus. He got away from the Lord. Just drifting off out there. And see, daddy called grandma and grandpa, Ma and Pa. He said they got in, wrote him a letter, anointed it, laid their hands on it, prayed over. They sent it to him. Back in those days, you didn't just get up and run somewhere. But they sent him a letter. And you know what he told him? He said, I couldn't read it without weeping and getting under conviction. Folks, we need to get back to some of that. But there were special miracles. God does special things. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. You know, the first miracle that come into Paul's life, you know, Paul was real religious. I mean, he was a Pharisee, strict of strict, knew the law, persecuting Christians. But if you don't believe this is a miracle, on the road to Damascus, he met the Savior. Miracle of miracles, a new birth came upon him. He got born again. He was blinded physically for 3 days. They led him around. And somebody came to him and said, hey, I come to lay hands on your paper that you may receive your sight. A miracle of miracles, Apostle Paul. You know why he was working miracles and miracles were going out from his body? And sickness were diseases that were leaving because God was working special miracles through him. He had a miracle worked on his own life. And the first miracle that needs to happen to anyone here, if it's ever happened to you, is a miracle of a new birth. You must be born again. That's a miracle that must take place in your life. You cannot ever get to heaven. You can't get to own good works. You can't get to this in your own way. You must be born again. Many weeks ago, a month ago, I preached on the new birth. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, I tell you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, I know he's working miracles. He'd heard of his miracles. He'd seen his miracles. And Jesus was performing miracles. And he's still performing miracles. And here he is. You know why? It glorifies him. It honors him. For God to take an old sinner, save him by his marvelous and wonderful grace. God still performing miracles. You need one? They're available. You don't be born again? You can have it. I was talking to a lady last night. She said, well, man, I'm telling you, I heard her testifying a little bit, and I talked to her afterwards, and she, something happened to me. Has it ever happened to you? You ever been born again? You ever had your sins washed in the blood? You ever been made a new creature in Christ Jesus? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's a miracle of miracles that we can be born again. You know, Nicodemus said, hey, I'll tell you something. How can a man be born when he's whole? Can he go back into his mother's womb the second time? He didn't understand. But I'll tell you, no, you can't. But thank God you can be born from the past.
preacher in Christ Jesus. Miracle of miracles. What a wonder. What a marvelous thing. You imagine how many people were born again on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God. But you can't be. You can't burn yourself. You can't burn yourself. You got to be born from above. The Spirit of God is going to convict you and draw you and convince you. You must be born by the Spirit of God. But it's a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Looks like a new world, don't it? Looks different. Feel like a ton of weight come off your chest, didn't it? You're not saved by feelings. But I won't tell you something, you will feel different. Glory to God. I told my wife, I said, I got to go by mom and tell. When I got saved, I said, I got to go by and tell my mom and daddy. What didn't I? You know what? They were so happy. What a miracle. Change your life completely. Change the course. Change your speech. Change your whole outlook on life. What a miracle that God can perform. Things you used to love, some of them you hate now. Things you didn't turn them about, you'll love them now. Amen. So Jesus, Nicodemus saw miracles of God. Jesus told him, said, you must be born again. So that's a miracle. If you hear this morning, that's more important than if you hear and got some affliction, the disease or sickness in your body, your soul, your spirit. That's the most important miracle that can ever happen upon it. But that's not all miracles. You know, sometimes people say, well, God can do anything he wants to you spiritually, but he's not able to do anything for you physically. I don't ever believe that. He still can. Some of you this morning need a miracle. That's exactly what you need. You don't ever need one in your body. You just hang around a little longer. Right? He's still in the miracle performing business. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still got all power. He wants to perform a miracle for you. Moses standing after the Red Sea, Brother Billy. What he needs. A miracle. What is a miracle? A divine intervention. When God himself intervenes, it's a miracle. Maybe against nature. It may be against science. It may be against, listen, all the physicians. But when God performs a miracle, listen, he don't need no one ever here. Thank God he can do it. I want to say this, if God allows men, and he did, just like Rachel sitting there, pull her open, take her heart out, put another in. If God so desired, he could have done that. But he worked it through the other way. But he can do it. Even if you got a heart problem this morning, he's able to fix yours even without that. Can I hear amen? He sure can. Man can do what they can do. Thank God for every one of them. Doctors and all. I'm not against them. I'm for them. Because they, most of them trying to accomplish the same thing that we are. But I say if they can do that and God give them that wisdom, what do you think God can do? Amen. Yes, he can. So what did Moses need when he's standing out there at that Red Sea? He needed a miracle. He got one. That wasn't just wading across a little stream. That wasn't just a little gap like this aisle. It was wide. How many? 3 miles. You know why? Because they had to all get across there one night. What did they need? A miracle. They got it. Sure did.
Y'all thinking about when Jesus turned the water into wine, some of the Old Testament miracles. I thought about one, about Moses. You know, he threw the rod down and became a snake, didn't he? But he eat up that other one, didn't he? He picked it back up and it was a rod. Also, he turned the water into wine, but what did he turn it into? Blood. That's a miracle. But that's a miracle of judgment. Jesus turned the water into wine. That's a miracle of joy. He'll turn your life around and fill you with such joy. Some people think you've been drinking wine. Hey, man. You know what they said on the day of Pentecost, don't you? Say, these men not drunk as you suppose. They were drunk. Not on wine, but they're on that heavenly wine. This is back what the prophet Joel spoke of. They were full of the heavenly wine. Jesus can turn your sadness into gladness. He can turn, your sorrow into joy. He can turn your problems around. Thank God. He's a miracle-working God. You'll trust him. He is a miracle-working God. Amen. I think about some others. I won't ever get started on this as normal. I think about Nathan. Wasn't that his name? Leper. Naaman. So we need help a lot of times. Naaman. He was a leper. He was about the top of his king's army, wasn't he? He wept her. But he had leprosy. But you know what? God had a little witness over. The king had a little maid. Taken captive. You know what? She said, I would to God he was over with in Israel, where the prophet is. He'd cure him of his leprosy. She testified to him. Boy, they believed her. And he went on with her. But when he got to the man of God's house, he said, go down and dip 7 times in the river Jordan. I told him he's going to come out here and lay hands on this stuff and get rid of this leprosy. I thought he was coming to do it that way. He went off in a rage, the Bible said. But one of his servants said, hey, if he'd have bid you do some great thing, would you have done it? He, you know what he said? Oh, we got rivers over there I could have dipped in. That don't matter, honey. It's obeying God what matters. And you know what he did? He said he'd go down and dip himself 7 times in the river of Jordan. And he come up clean. What he needed was a miracle. And he got it. He liked to miss it. But he got a miracle. What do you need this morning? He's there to give you one. Miracle. I read some of the 11th chapter of the book of John. What Lazarus need? I mean, miracle. He'd been dead 4 days. In fact, when the scripture said, oh, Lord, by this time he's thinking. No time limit with God. Lazarus got a miracle. He said, Jesus, come forth. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, Jesus walking on the water told his disciples in that troubled boat that they thought was about to sink, all he said was, peace, be still. What they need? They needed a miracle. Amen. They sure do. What blind Bartimaeus need? Miracle. What did I do for you? I want to see. He got a miracle. And he saw. Thank God for his word. They believed. There's one passage of scripture before we close this one I want to look at just a little bit. In chapter 4 of the book of St. John. Certain nobleman, chapter number 4. Certain nobleman, verse number 46, whose son was sick at Capernaum. Whenever that Jesus was come out of Judah into the Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. John, that's verse number 47 of John 4. Then said Jesus to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now, I want you to get a hold of something. Jesus just spoke the word. First of all, they wanted him to go down there where his son was. But Jesus told him, thy son liveth. And you know what the man did? He believed that, and he went his way. Amen. He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he went out going down, the servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. He heard it again. He heard it the first time from the lips of Jesus. He believed what he heard, started home, and his servants was headed toward him to say, thy son liveth. If God speaks, then we'll believe. God has spoken. We must believe. You don't see a miracle? Let's believe him for one. Amen. What do we need? We need a miracle. I read a verse a while ago that said that he was doing miracles and healing those that had diseases. We have diseases and sicknesses that man has no answer for. What do we need? Miracle. What do we need? Miracle. He said to him, verse number 52, and he inquired of the hour when he began to mend, and they said unto him, yesterday, the 11th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was in the same mind as what Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. He knew it the very moment Jesus spoke the words. I want to say, there's no distance to the spoke and word of God. You see the leper? Name of the leper, he thought he had to go and lay hands on him, but he didn't. Jesus can just speak the word. When he speaks the word, if God tells you, you can live, you can live. Amen. God tells you it's going to be all right. It'll be all right. Spoken word of God. Thy son did it. Hallelujah. He said, same time Jesus spoke it. Fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same iron to which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. And himself what? Believe. Jesus spoke the word, thy son liveth, and he believed. Sharing with a man this week. You can't just hope so. You can't hope you're going to go to heaven. You better know so. You better totally, completely trust in the Lord and believe in thine heart and believe. And this man, when Jesus spoke, thy son liveth, his father believed what he said. You believe it? You believe what he said? Hallelujah. If you do, and you pray about something, God gives you an answer, you can just get up and head on your way, honey. If God's spoken the word to you, it's so. Amen. Then he says, that's unbelievable. He believed. Now, listen to this. Thy son liveth, and himself believed. Look at verse 53. So the father knew that it was the same hour that son liveth and himself believed, and his whole what? House. This is the second miracle that Jesus did. I want to stop for a moment. His whole house believed. I can see him. He's got a
Now, you don't find all this in the Bible, but you can imagine a little, can't you? I can see him as they got back home. Harry's wife come out to meet him. She said, "Husband! Husband! You won't believe it!" Said, "And something just here. He got up! Got up and the fever left him! He didn't have to sit around no more and wait for the blood to leave. He got up!" Listen, she was so happy. Said, "Husband, you went, you came, you went to the master, and listen, he got up! He's going to live!"
He said, "I know. He said he was."
That wife believed too. She believed also. She believed. Listen, God had worked to perform a wonderful miracle, and the whole household believed. Wife was happy. I can see his boy. Can't you imagine leaving home and he's at the point of death? Coming back home. There he is. Up. Fever home. He was at the point of death. But God, through a marvelous, miraculous miracle, raised him up. He said, "Dad, this is great. This feels good. How marvelous, how wonderful this Jesus is. I believe in him. I believe on him. Amen. I trust him." He believed. Whole house. Then I hear his servants. His servants say, "Hey, we was here. We saw him get up. We saw it leaving at a certain hour. We believe too." Well, you say, "I don't find all that in the Bible," but it did say they all believe, didn't it? Hey. Put yourself in their place. Tell you something. If I had come home before Dwight left this world and God had gotten him out of that wheelchair, listen, you probably would have hurt me for miles. Praising God. But I'm going to tell you something, because you didn't get him up, don't mean he can't get the next time.
Yes, sir.
The devil told me a long time ago, he said, "You'll never be a preacher on healing, miracle working." I said, "Devil, you a liar. God is still true."
Amen.
Amen. What God done for others, he can do for you. He's a miracle-working God. Dwight got a greater healing than he ever could have gotten down here. So I'm content with it. Amen. He's gone to the land of no mores. No more heartaches, no more sorrow. No more wheelchairs, no more walkers. Gone to the place beyond the blue. Where's peace forevermore. But until we reach that golden shore, there's miracles to be performed. Miracle. I want to see a miracle of God. Don't you? Number one, salvation. Number two, healing of the sick and the afflicted. Amen. And all for one purpose and for one reason. He said that he might manifest his glory. And he said again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah unto Galilee. And this miracle of miracles, thank God, is for his glory. That a manifestation of his glory. He works
miracles to glorify his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Show me thy glory. Jesus, miracle working one. He is. He wants to work a miracle for you. He can do it. You say, I can't work this out. He can. You said, I can't control this. He can. He speaks to the waves and the winds, and they obey him. You know what I sing about when I sing about he turned the water into wine, too? The devil tried to get him turning them stones into bread. You said, could he have done it? Yeah. But he weren't going to do it for him. But look what he did at that marriage. You know what? Isn't it amazing Jesus was at that marriage there? He honors marriage. Amen. He honors it. And they run out of wine. And you know what? We're really fixing on particular that passage. Chris, would you think about it? That wine he turned the water into, when they took it up there to him, and they said, whoa, what is this? He said, you know, they always get the good wine first and save the old bad one for last. He said, this is the last wine, boy, it's the best. Can I tell you something? What he does is always the best. You know how I worry about it? He'll fill your soul with the wine of heaven. And it'll be the best. So they took the wine and he turned the water into wine and they carried it to him. They said, hey, whoo, this is best of all. He's got the best thing for your life.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Oh, taste the Lord and see he's good. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. He's glorious. He's eternal. He's God. There's none other besides him. He wants to work a miracle for you. He wants to work a miracle in your heart. He wants to work a miracle in your home. He wants to work a miracle, period. He wants to work a miracle in this church. And I want you to pray with me that we'll see God stretch forth his hands with miracles and wonders and signs. You say, well, I've had people tell me, and I don't still believe it, they got to me too late. I've had people tell me, well, miracles went out. Miracles are gone. Can't expect them no more. How about going and reading the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians? Yeah. Workers of miracles. Gifts. There's gifts of healing. Gifts of all kinds of miracles. What our problem is, sometimes we don't want to believe God, we don't want to pay the price. But folks, we need a miracle. This namby-pamby, this stuff, this going on without the real power of God, not going to get the job done. We're going into an hour like we're going to need God like never before. We're going to need a miracle to survive. We're going to need a miracle of all miracles in this day and hour we're living in. But I'm telling you this morning, we're serving a miracle-working God. If you got a miracle or you need one, he's there to perform it for you. Amen. Would you stand with me?